Productive Catholic Podcast, Episode 2. Hey everyone, welcome to Productive Catholic Podcast. Today is going to be very exciting because we're going to be talking about getting things done thanks to a listener email that was sent. We're going to be talking about just what is getting things done, how to use it in a practical application type of way, some examples from how I've used it in the past, just a couple of pros, couple of cons, and so on, and just ways to be a little bit more productive in your workplace by using getting things done. All that more coming up. Once again, welcome, and a couple of things. First off is that we are now on iTunes. Productive Catholic is now on iTunes. You might hear some hammering in the background. That is my father-in-law fixing my roof, which is always cool. Glad to have a general contractor for a father-in-law. But yeah, we're now on iTunes, and by the time you're listening to this, it will be all up on there, so you can subscribe. Be sure to, if you can, rate me, hopefully 5 stars. But if not, that's cool too. It helps me, if you rate me less than 5 stars, that helps me to become better. But so that's one thing. The other thing is that email. I am probably going to change my Productive Catholic email to my business email. Right now, the Productive Catholic email is productivecatholic@gmail.com. It is very, very tough. I have like 5 different email addresses, and it's very tough to manage all of them. So I'm going to try and move everything over to my ProSulam email so I can manage it better. Not only from a productivity standpoint, but from a relationship standpoint, because those of you who have emailed me and have contacted me, you know that I email back, not in a, hey, thanks for the email, really appreciate it, but more in a trying to build connection, build relationship, and so on. So that will allow me to be a little bit more proactive in just finding out a little bit more about you, because that's really what this is all about. I really want to be out there for you guys to help you, to help me give you more content, more useful content, and so on, and how to be productive and all that jazz. Kind of following on from that, Twitter. I have two Twitter handles. The one for Productive Catholic is @ProductiveCath. I'm probably going to change that one over as well to my main Twitter, which is @DeanSoto. So @DeanSoto, if you want to follow me on Twitter, going to move everything over there. Main, like I said, predominant reason is just to manage. And then as more podcasts come out, as more things come out, it doesn't lock me into that specific podcast. It allows me to branch out and to, basically manage relationships to any podcast and blog that I put out there. So that is that. All right, getting to the good stuff rather than the administrative details. Getting to the good stuff. Getting things done. Ooh, that hammering is loud. Getting things done. This particular episode is all because of a listener feedback that I got from a lady named Fran, who is a development director. Oh, did I move her email? I did. Oh, no, there it is. Okay. She is the development director of fundraising for the Sisters. I keep on wanting to say the Sisters of Charity, but no, it's the Little Sisters of the Poor in Cincinnati. So if you want to help out a particular charity, if you want to help out some good sisters, Little Sisters of the Poor in Cincinnati, get in contact with Fran, their development director. I'm sure she would appreciate that. But this is what she wrote to me. Thank you, Fran. She said, thank you for your podcast. I'm extremely grateful for the organizational and time management tips, links, and advice. One wish and request, though. Take one topic to the next level, i.e. examples and follow-up about how you or someone else is using GTD successfully. While sound bites are nice and gets us all moving in a direction, follow-up and next steps and ideas are very helpful and can keep folks coming back for the next installment. Thank you again for a great blog and the new podcast. Very helpful, a godsend. God bless and have a great 4th of July weekend. And I hope you all had a great 4th of July weekend. So let's talk about getting things done. I had mentioned this in the last podcast, just kind of in brief, but let's kind of get into it. For those who have no idea what getting things done is, oh, and by the way, I'm going to have Mike St. Pierre on here at some point in time. He uses Getting Things Done. He does a lot of stuff. You can see him at thedailysaint.com and some of the stuff that he writes about GTD. But anyway, Getting Things Done. Basically, it is a productivity method, but rather than a method in which you prioritize things and kind of hope that you're right, that this is high priority, this is low priority, and so on, which I totally think is bogus. It is more of a workflow. It is more of a workflow. So those of you who understand what workflows are will really, really love getting things done. So basically, what makes it so powerful is the fact that it allows you to get rid of the stress that is in your mind caused by different tasks that you need to do. Whether you actually are consciously thinking about it or not, you have these ideas, you have tasks, you have all this stuff jumbled up in your mind that you know that you need to do, or at least your subconscious knows that you need to do, and it just stresses you out. So the whole premise is get that stuff out of your mind, and he actually calls it stuff. This is created by David Allen in his book, Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity. Get that stuff out of your mind, onto paper, or onto voice, or whatever you want to use, but get it out of your mind. The faster that you get it out and put it into an external repository, the less stress that you will have. And it's totally true. I'll give you some examples in my life soon. But basically, you get that stuff, you put it in what's called an inbox. And I'm going to give you a brief workflow of this. So you put it in your inbox. You eventually process it. I recommend twice a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. That's what I would do when I was using GTD. Twice a day, morning and evening. So when you process it, you basically say, well, what is this task? What is it? Is it something that can be done in less than 2 minutes? As soon as you get it, you know, you can kind of make that determination. But if it's something that's going to be done in less than 2 minutes, then just do it. There's no reason to put it in your task list because by the time you do all that stuff, you really don't have a, you're going to be spending more time putting it in your task list than you are doing it. So if it's less than 2 minutes, you do it. If not, you put it in your inbox. If not, you just determine, what is it? What is it? Is it actionable? If it is not, you trash it. You can either trash it, you can maybe put it in something like a someday, someplace, maybe. Because, you know, it might be something that, you know, hey, run a marathon. That might be applicable at some point in time when, you know, later on in a year when you're not busy. So put it in a someday, maybe type repository. If it's something that doesn't really have an action, but you might want to keep it for reference later on, you just put it into kind of like a reference folder or a reference repository. If it is something that is actionable to you, if it is something that is actionable in some way, shape, or form, then you have to determine what is that next action? What is that next action? There's a couple of different things that it could be. One, it could be a huge project. And I'm going to give you an example of what a project is from my own experience. When I returned from Operation Iraqi Freedom in March of 2009, I went back to my full-time job, which still is in aerospace as an information assurance manager. If you don't know what information assurance is, it's basically like cybersecurity. Okay. So one of the things that you have to do in that is develop a what is called a system security plan. A system security plan. They are huge documents. Now, that is one that can be considered one task, right? Write a system security plan. Well, if I put that in my task list, what does that do for me? If I say write a system security plan, it doesn't really do anything at all. It just reminds me how inadequate I am that I haven't finished my system security plan. So this is what is called a project. You projectize this particular task because there are so many subtasks involved. So with an SSP, you know, you have your introduction, you have different compliance regulations that you have to meet for the government, say like session control, and you don't need to know all this, but I'm just going to shoot them all out, like session control and resource control and auditing and all this other stuff. You have all these different subtasks, but if you meet all these subtasks, if you create all these little subtasks underneath that main task, you are going to be done with that main task. So in getting things done, if something is a task that's going to have more than one action in it, you create a project, what is called a project, and you start planning that project. You start writing out, okay, well, what tasks are involved in this particular, what other tasks are involved in this particular task? Start writing them out. You don't have to do it immediately, but you can do it at some point in time when you're processing them. Write them all out. By the time you're done with all those different subtasks, you're done with the whole thing. So in my experience, my organization had been doing this system security plan. I'm just going to refer to an SSP from here on out for almost over a year. I mean, it was a long time and nothing was getting done. Nothing. When I returned, and this is not like, I'm so awesome. No, I just knew how to do this stuff because I had read Getting Things Done by David Allen while I was over in Kuwait. And so I looked at, what other tasks did we need to do in order to get this whole thing accomplished? Created a project plan, started writing all the subtasks out. Within a matter of 2 months, we were done. We were done and were able to submit it to the customer. It was just boom, 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 boom. Now, 2 months it seems like a long time. Really, it was not. That is very, very quick. So just to show you that the method of projectizing in getting things done is very, very valuable and can really help you to manage large scale projects that seem like you can just write out as one task, but really multiple tasks. So say it's not a project. Say it is something that, you know, you can't really do. Maybe it's something that you just have, you know, you don't have the power to do. Maybe it's something that only your manager could do or someone else with particular expertise. You just delegate it to them. You can delegate down. You can delegate horizontally. You can delegate up. Whatever it is, you know, hey, if I don't know Ruby on Rails, if I don't know PHP, HTML, and so on, I'm going to delegate that stuff, whatever action that is, to someone who does. And so if you don't know what it is, if you don't know how to do that, you don't have the particular expertise, there is nothing wrong with delegating it. You are still taking an action, and that action is giving it to someone else. Now, I do this all the time. What I do in my business is I tend to like project management. I can do some HTML. I can do some IT stuff. But really, I love to outsource and love to manage the project in just fully. So I'll use something like Odesk or Elance. Those are two places where you can outsource work to, say, the Philippines. I have a virtual assistant from the Philippines. Her name is Marie, and she is awesome. But my action is, hey, I'm going to hire someone to do this. You know, if a customer says, hey, can you build me a website? I'm going to, you know, I'll create the project plan for the person that I'm going to outsource to, but I'm going to delegate it to them because even though I might be able to do it, they have a greater expertise. They are able to do it better. And for the most part, they're able to do it cheaper for my client, which in turn, you know, makes them more happy working with me. I mean, obviously, but with the same quality as that they would get is if it, you know, if they got, either got it from me or from someone else in the States. But yeah, delegating, there's nothing wrong with delegating, and it's not, I mean, most people think that, you know, I can't hand this off to someone, but most of the time it's better to hand it off to someone who knows how to do it better. That's just the way it is. But say what if you can do the task? What if you can do the task and it takes more than 2 minutes? Well, you defer it. You defer it to, say it has no due date, no specific due date. You just defer it to, you know, a context. You put it into a repository that has a specific context, like for your house or for your work or for, you know, wherever, like the gym or I don't know, different contexts. And you defer it for, you know, hey, I will get to it when I can get to it. I will get to it when I can get to it. If it does have a specific due date, you can put it on the calendar. That's what the calendar is there for. Put it on the calendar, either as a tickler, like something to remind you that, you know, hey, this is going to be needed to be done in a week, or on the specific due date. Put it on your calendar. It is somewhere where you're not ever going to miss it as long as you're checking your calendar often. Put it on your calendar. If it is something that this is an action, trust me, this is an action and it happens all the time. If it's something that you're waiting for from someone else, say you delegated to someone, you know, hey, can you do this for me? Can you write this code for me? Or can you contact this person for me? You know what? You still need to follow up with them. That is something that you are waiting for. It's still an action. You might have delegated it off to someone, but you're still waiting for that. So, you know, you put that into a repository that says waiting for, because, you know, you're going to want to follow up at some point in time so you don't lose that action. And plus, it helps them to be reminded. But generally, that is the entire workflow. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, whoa, that is super complicated. And I'm going to tell you that, yes, it is. It is super complicated. But if you get into the habit of it, if you look at it, and I will put a cheat sheet on, I'm going to put a cheat sheet on the blog that shows you how to do it. There's a bunch of them out there. If you do it, it really does help. And you don't have to do it this specific way. I don't even do it anymore. Don't get me wrong. I like GTD, but I think there are better things out there. I use autofocus, and we'll go way into detail on that probably in the next one, just so I can give you an idea of different ways to kind of do the same thing. Autofocus is kind of the same thing, has the same premise as GTD in the realm of getting things off your mind. But yeah, it's super complicated. I'm going to tell you that, you know, honestly, like my wife does not like GTD at all. Does not like GTD at all. She'd rather just have a task list. She does really well with her task list. And I find that most women don't like it. But at the same time, I find that most women are a lot more organized than men, just in general. So, it's, you know, kind of a balance there, because women, from my experience at least, tend to be way more organized than men. But let me get back to my show notes real quick. Okay. The way that I had implemented GTD in the past is I like to use electronic tools. I like to use things online. So there's a couple of things that you can use online. First is Google Tasks. I mean, you can kind of use it. You can use it for GTD, but there are specific things about GTD, like contexts and so on, that you really can't use with Google Tasks. It's possible. It's possible to use in some aspects or not. But one thing that really is really has a really good implementation of it, and you won't find this in 2003, but Microsoft Outlook 2007 allows you to implement getting things done very, very well. So if you have Microsoft Outlook 2007, you can use GTD, I mean, almost to the T. And so what I'll do is I will put a on the blog, I'll put a link to one of the tutorials on how to do that. There's other programs for Macintosh, like Things. It's a specifically a Macintosh program, a to-do list that you can use not only on Macintosh, but also on the iPhone, and they sync between each other. It's called Things, and it's a to-do list that is generally made for GTD. There's a bunch of other iPhone apps out there. I've used, let me see, what did I use? Oh, Anote. Anote kind of allows you to do GTD very good, and that's one word, Anote. There's a bunch of other things. One thing that was very, very interesting to me is Productive, and I actually wrote about this in Productive Catholic right when it was starting out. But Productive is a multiple user implementation of getting things done. So if you have a small business, if you have a small group, and so on, it does cost money. I think it's like $9.99 or $19.99 a month or something like that. I forgot what it was, but they do have a discount for educated any type of school and so on. But excuse me. But yeah, Productive, pretty neat, pretty neat. Yeah, I just said pretty. Anyway, it is very, very cool. Check it out, Productive.com. It is Productive.com. Check it out. I'm not going to go and explain it to you. When you see it, you'll understand. Some of the pros. I'm going to give you some of the pros of using getting things done. I found in my experience that it really does reduce a lot of stress. I tend to stress out about work and tasks and so on very easily. But if I know that I've written things down, that I'm not forgetting something, that everything's deferred to the times that they need to be deferred, and that everything is really just, you know, handled and controlled, I tend to rest a lot easier. I'm a very proactive person, and it allows me to be more proactive because I can understand, especially when I process in the mornings. When I process in the mornings, I'm able to see what I need to do for that day and really just kill it, really just crush the day by knowing and saying, okay, I'm going to hit these things first, then it's going to give me time to do such and such, such and such. Usually if I have a small task list, I'm done by half of the day, depending on what it is. So yeah, it really helps managing stress, really helps you to be proactive, gives you that overview of things that need to be done on that day. You're not prioritizing things. Things are automatically kind of being prioritized. And you're just, ultimately, you're able to manage your time more efficiently and more effectively. The best thing is teaching others how to use it, because you are not the only person in your organization. You are not the only person in your organization. If you are in a group of like 10 people, if you're in a group of 10 people and you need to get a project done or you need to get things done, if everyone else besides you has no real productivity method, has no real way of managing tasks and time, things are going to be hard. Especially for you, if you want to implement GTD, it's not going to implement nearly as well as if you help others to understand that this is a better way of doing things. Let's try this. I'm going to show you how to create this workflow and manage tasks in a very effective way. Once you've done that, and from my experience, I've taught a lot of my organization how to use GTD. Even above me, I recently gave an all-hands briefing. I love doing public speaking, but I gave an all-hands briefing on Inbox Zero, and we will talk about Inbox Zero, but Inbox Zero comes from and is a derivative of getting things done. I gave that to my regional manager and my direct manager and the deputy regional manager and a whole bunch of people. None of them knew who David Allen was. None of them knew about getting things done, and that's fine. And not everyone needs to know, it's not as though that makes you inadequate or anything like that. But they had no idea. They were so excited when I told them, and all of them went out and got it. And guess what I heard for the next month? And this was not too long ago. Guess what I heard for the next month? Hey, Dina, yeah, I was checking out David Allen's book. And that was great stuff. That's great stuff. It puts you in a good light. You know, it shows that you really care about your organization. You really care about working effectively, working efficiently. And, you know, it helps you to be seen as a productivity and subject matter expert when it comes to getting things accomplished in a quick way. I know that that's at least what's happened to me. But teaching others in your organization how to use those is just huge. The cons, though. I'm going to give you some of the cons of getting things done. It is complicated. Don't get me wrong. I mean, when you look at the workflow, it is complicated. You know, there's many contexts, which, you know, if you have a task list for home and for work and for all these different places, sometimes you might have up to 30 contexts and all of those have tasks in them. And so it gets really overwhelming at times. It really does. And that makes it so easy to fall off. I've fallen off the track so often that it's just normal. And you'll see that. You'll see that in a lot of discussions about GTD. People fall off the track because it can get overwhelming at times. It is not a foolproof methodology. I found autofocus to be a lot easier to stay on track because it's just a lot simpler methodology. But many people just, you know, find it too complex. Some jobs, another con that I've seen, some jobs just don't do well with it. Sometimes you might be, say you're just building stuff, maybe you're manufacturing stuff, and you know, you're just one of the workers that are just manufacturing stuff. How are you going to implement GTD when all you do is build stuff? And not saying that, you know, that there's isn't some application, but really, is it going to make your job more effective to write down tasks when all you do is you take this circuit board, you put all this stuff on there, and then you ship it out? Probably not. Not unless you're in a management role in that particular situation where you're managing deliverables, you're managing the production line and so on. Not really going to help. Now, from a spiritual aspect, from a from Fran, who is a director of fundraising, you're able, I would suggest, using that as a means to follow up with potential donors, write down, defer tasks to specific dates on when you're going to follow up with donors on for your particular charity, for your specific organization, because following up is huge. I don't know how many times I have clients that just by following up, they'll either, you know, they'll pay me or they will, or they'll buy something from me or they'll buy my IT consulting services and so on just by following up, because we're all busy and sometimes we forget. So, you know, using as a means to follow up, using it as a means to spark new initiatives. You might want to have a new charity drive for the Little Sisters of the Poor, new charity drive, but you don't know what it's going to take. That's a lot of tasks in there. Start project planning and start deferring those tasks to specific dates and so on, or delegate those to specific nuns that can do certain things. You know, some might be good at marketing, some might be good at the administrative stuff. Whatever, there's a lot of ways that you can delegate specific project tasks to specific people who have those talents and abilities. Learning how to use getting things done is very cool, and it helps you to learn. It's a great way to learn other productivity methods. For me, I use autofocus. But had I not known GTD, I don't think I would have done autofocus quite as well. We'll talk about autofocus next time. Hopefully that was helpful. I love GTD. I love GTD. It's been a huge part of my life and has helped me in so many ways. But it can be quite a bear sometimes, and something that you just need to stick to. So next time we're going to talk, we're going to talk autofocus next time. Why I love autofocus over GTD, I can't stress how much I love autofocus, because it is so much simpler, but at the same time, it can be very, very effective. So thanks for your emails. Thank you, everyone, so much for your emails. I would love to hear your voice, though. Email is one thing, but hearing your voice, oh, that would be so cool. So if you could, please send me a voicemail at 714-643-5301. 714-643-5301. Yeah, hearing your voice would be awesome, specifically because, you know, sometimes it's hard to answer emails. Not that I don't want to, but people out there want to hear that real people listen to this too, as well. But yeah, if you want to email me, you can email me at dean@prosulum.com, prosulum.com. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter. That is at Dean Soto, at Dean Soto. Oh, wow. That was a bit of a long one. Can't talk enough about GTD, but if you have any more questions about GTD, I know this was like a crash course. There's so many resources out there for getting things done, and so many different takes on it, some adaptations and so on. But really, if you want to know how to use GTD, I recommend just getting the book or the audiobook. There's no substitute to hearing from the horse's mouth as to how to use GTD. There's so much involved. I'm not going to lie to you, but I think it's worth it. I honestly think it's worth it. So anyways, questions. Leave me a voicemail, 714-643-5301. God bless everyone. And I will see you in the next episode.